Greetings, Northridge Church. Welcome to the first Sunday of 2025. Whenever I say that, especially as an old guy, it just seems so futuristic. But on the first Sunday of every year, and we've been doing this for 25 to 30 years, we always do a kind of a corporate meeting together, and we always talk about why we exist. Why we exist. And hopefully by now, most of you know, we exist to reach and equip people for Christ without borders. And so, even though it sounds like I repeat the same thing every year, I think it's important that we always remember our foundation, we always remember our purpose, we always remember our mission, why we exist. Give you a quick history lesson just to catch you all up to date. This church, Northridge Church, began in 1858. It began as the First Congregational Church of Albany, Kansas. They were two Baptists, two Methodists, and one Presbyterian family that got together. Those five families got together and began what they called the First Congregational Church. It was unity amongst diversity. And that's the same thing that we enjoy today. We enjoy a unity amongst diversity. Most of you who are watching this probably didn't even grow up in a Northridge church. But as you went along, somehow you ended up here together. And I'm glad that you have. As we together reach and equip people of Christ, reaching out to those who need Christ, equipping them to become more like Christ. And we do that for Christ, not for Northridge, but for Christ. And we do it without borders. In other words, it starts in your family, and then it goes to the uttermost part of the earth. And any way that you can be used to accomplish that, whether it be with your two-year-old or helping support someone across the globe or going or wherever it might be, that's what we endeavor to accomplish. Now, as we go through right now, Northridge Network is a network of six different churches. And you have to realize, in case you're new to this, that we have no church planting, church revitalizing strategy. We have no plan, five-year plan, three-year, five-year, 10-year goals of expanding and getting more church. We don't think that way. This is our passion, that we know that Jesus said he will build his church. Listen, in Matthew 16, when Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. To understand Northridge Church, you have to understand our passion is to see Jesus build his church. It's not for us to strategize how to build a church, how to get more people in. We don't sit around thinking, what activities can we do to get more people into church? That is not our passion. Our passion is to see Jesus build his church. And if he uses us to do it, then great. And if we need to start something in Fall City, which we did, great. If we need to start something in Seneca, which we did, great. Or Humboldt, or Peru, now Nebraska City. But it's not for Northridge to become some great multi-site church. As a matter of fact, we kind of rebel a little bit against that. We would like to be more a multi-church church. We're not out to be a denomination. We're not out to start any new movement. We're just here to see people come to know Christ and to follow him. And if we can gather together, which is what the church is, right? It's not a building. It's not programs. It's us as we gather together to worship him and to love him and to serve him and to love one another. And we'll be talking about that a little bit towards the end. But I want you to know that every church has, you know, we endeavor every church to have its own elders, its own programs, its own services, and so that we're not some conglomerate that we have to ask somebody, you know, who is somewhere else, but that each church runs independently. Though as a network, we do share resources, which is great. So every church doesn't need a financial person. We have one. We have one person that does all the programming. We have one person that oversees the missions. And so that enables each church to be a church and not to have to worry about some of the other resources things because we're together. And if one church needs something and the other church has it, we're able to share and share our resources. But it's all for Christ. Now, I know that some people want to try and, in case you're new, particularly to label us. You know, what are you? Are you this? Are you that? Are you this name? Are you that name? Are you associated with this or that? If we ever had a label, I would love just to be labeled a biblicist. In other words, churches that use the Word of God as our foundation. That's our desire. And that's why we preach through the Bible expositionally, chapters by chapters, verses by verse, sometimes in big chunks, sometimes in small chunks, but we go through the scriptures. And that means even from church to church, it may vary a bit. Messages will vary. We may speak on the same text, but they will vary a little bit because of different views that we might have. But we always keep each other accountable for rightly dividing the word of truth, to make sure that we're preaching what is true about the Bible. And there are some things that we do not compromise on and that we hold true together, which is things like the gospel, that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross on our behalf, and that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day, and that he was seen by people, right? And that's the gospel that we all hold to. As far as how we're doing as a network, some of you like to hear some stats. So here are a couple stats. Number one, we have averaged with the different churches, we've averaged 825 on a Sunday, which is really neat. I know our Easter services, we were over 1,300. Our Christmas Eve service, we were over 1,000. As a matter of fact, the Sunday before Christmas, we had over 1,100 people in the services. For some reason, there seems to be a swell in church attendance, which is fine. It's good. That's not our barometer. Our barometer is, are we making disciples? Are we seeing people get saved? Are we seeing getting baptized and committing themselves to Christ? And I would say yes. Yes, we are. And that's really exciting. As a matter of fact, as you're listening to this, we have 46 of our college-age 20-year-olds away at a missions conference, at a cross conference, that God is really stirring up things in the Northridge body. And that's really exciting to see. As far as financially, I want to thank you for your financial faithfulness. I would hate to be a church, to be honest. I think all of our pastors would agree. We would hate to be people who would have to stand up front and be asking for money and things of that. You are faithful in your general fund giving. And though I'm taping this before the actual end of the year, a couple of days before New Year's Day, I know that we are practically right on budget within 1%. Our giving was in within 1%. Our expenditures were within about 1% or so. And so everything has just been just perfectly aligned to God's glory and by his grace. And so I want to thank you for that. And you've been faithful in your giving in special projects, whether it be HVAC systems or whether it be a van or paving a parking lot, giving to the Seneca building, which this is where I'm in, taping this today, is in the Seneca Sanctuary. And what a blessing that is. And just for your continued giving towards that as we pay off our $1 million debt that we have on it. It's just your faithfulness. And I want to thank you for that, your generosity. This has always been a very giving body. And it's great. And so Christ continues to grow his church. And we just don't have a lot of speed bumps. We don't have a lot of pitfalls. There's not a lot of, divisions. So I feel like a broken record sometimes, but I just want to tell you that as a pastor now for, I don't know how many years, 30 plus years, I have never seen Jesus growing his church more than he is today here at Northridge. It just continues. I feel like I say that every year, but it is true. As Jesus continues to grow his church. And what I always tell our pastors and what I've always told you before, what's our position? Just don't screw it up. Live faithfully. Love him, serve him. Make sure he's priority in your life. Seek a close relationship with him. Just don't get in his way. He wants to change lives. He wants to change your life. He wants to change my life. He wants to change the lives. He wants to reach out to those people who are hurting and seeking Christ in this Kansas, Nebraska area, as well as the uttermost part of the earth. As a matter of fact, we're just going to pause for a minute here, and I'm going to show you a video. It's just a short video, about 3, 4, or 5 minutes, of the different campuses, just so you could kind of get a glimpse of what Christ has been doing as building his church throughout this last year.
It's not hard to give the glory to the one who changed my life. It's like a river running and it won't run dry. Oh, it's simply overflowing from the joy deep down inside. It's not hard to give the glory to the one who changed my life. Through the night, all my life I'm praising till the day I die. Then it's only just beginning. I'll join the mighty roar of heaven singing, worthy, worthy is the Lord. Hallelujah, my song for all my days. Hallelujah, all to the God who saves. Jesus Christ, my Savior, I'd be lost without your grace. You make it easy, easy, so easy to praise. You make it easy, easy, so easy to praise. When I was in the grave, you called my name. My heart woke up and out I came. Into life with a fresh new faith, a whole new start, my past erased. You placed my feet on solid rock. You showed me love that would never stop. You put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise, and now I'm gone.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that video and some of the pictures. Maybe you saw yourself or somebody you knew. It's just neat to see how many people Christ is impacting through you, through the church called Northridge, but it's his church, and it's just exciting to see what he's doing. We will be continuing this year, in the year 2025, through the book of Isaiah. Now listen, I know it's a tough book, but don't get weary as we go through it. keep the big picture in mind as we go through Isaiah, that there is judgment and there is hope. There is judgment and there is hope. There is judgment and there is hope. That's what's sprinkled throughout the whole book there. And so as we tend to talk about the judgment, let that drive you to gratefulness and thanksgiving that Christ took our judgment on the cross. He took our wrath. You know, it says in Hebrews, it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. So yes, there's judgment. But Christ took our judgment. In John 3:36, it says, he who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son does not have life, and the wrath of God abides upon him. See, the New Testament is the same way. There's judgment and there's hope. There's judgment for those without Christ because we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But because of Christ, if we place our faith in him, that what he did on the cross takes away the wrath of God from us. So I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. And so because of that, God's wrath is turned away from me. And so there is judgment, but there is hope. I have hope in Christ. My hope is in Christ. And so when it talks about the hope and it talks about the kingdom or the millennium or things like that, that we remember that's our hope. So judgment and hope, it's the same for us today. And I hope that if you are still without Christ, that you still are trying to figure this out, that you would abandon your own way and that you would place your faith in Jesus Christ and that you would find the hope of life now and the forgiveness of sins and the hope eternally. Jesus also says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you know what that's talking about in the context? It's talking about many of us who feel like we still need to perform, still feel like we need to somehow please God in some way so that he'll love us more. He'll somehow accept us more. And Jesus was saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, that you feel like you have to do rituals, you have to go do good deeds to still somehow keep your salvation or please God. God is totally pleased with those who are in Christ because you are in Christ. And so he sees you as pure and perfect and holy. And so he says, come to me, abide in me, right? John 15, he that abides in me and I in him, the same will bear much fruit. What a beautiful picture of abiding. That's what he wants of us. He invites us to come unto him and find rest. So I would invite you, if you haven't, to come to Christ. Come to Christ in salvation or come to Christ in his presence and abide in him. The other thing I like to kind of share this morning is to encourage us to come together. So many times when Jesus said, come together, this is what the church is. This is the assembly. I don't want to get too mystical here, but I need to tell you that there is something mystical about the church, that there's something out of the ordinary. We're not just getting together for some secular rock concert. We're not getting together for just some secular organization that will help people, though those are fine. But there's something special about you who believe in Christ and I who believe in Christ, and the Spirit of God indwells you and the Spirit of God indwells me. And God has placed us into a church together. He has said, come together and serve one another and love one another and bear one another's burdens. There's a ton of one another's in the scriptures. And there's something special about some of you who I don't even know. Then I'll get to visit maybe one of the churches and meet you for the first time. And I can honestly say with my whole heart, you are precious. How can that be? Because we're in the body of Christ. We share Christ together. We share the same Spirit of God. We just started in Nebraska City just about 6 weeks ago. They are precious people. And it's like those of us who have been serving there, it's like we're one body right away. We're together. We have this unity in Christ that is precious. And so I want to once again invite you, whether it's a home team for a missionary or a small group or a Bible study, or just maybe you can't even get involved in those things, but you can, you know, be whatever you do on your phone, right? Encouraging notes of texting or things like that. Whatever it might be, it may even just be praying. Maybe you're shut in and you don't even see people much, but you're able to pray for those in the body. But it is so important that you realize that you are an important, irreplaceable part of the body of Christ. And you say, oh, I'm not that important. I don't do anything. It's not what we're doing. It's who we are. It's what we're being to one another. That is what is important. And that's what the world doesn't get. The world doesn't get that there's a different dimension to the church than any other normal organization. And unfortunately, there's a lot of churches who have become just an organization and not the real body of Christ. And so I just want to encourage you at this beginning of the new year, as Jesus said, come to me, as we as believers, if there's in John chapter 1, go read through like the mid-30s to the mid-40s, and you have an interaction with Philip and Nathaniel, and he's saying, hey, come and see Christ. I found Christ. And he's like, well, what good can come from that? He says, come and see. Just come and see. And so that's what the invitation for 2025 is. Come and see. Come to Christ, and let's come together. Come to Christ, and let's come together. 2025, let's make sure we're abiding in Christ and that we're coming together. Come and see, come and taste that the Lord is good, and come together to accomplish what Christ wants to accomplish through you, his church. Thanks so much for coming into whatever church and worship service you're here today. May God bless you this year in 2025.